If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret, searching for the sound. This is the Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman.
Before we get to today's show, I wanted to tell you all about the new SoundStream app. It is the new home for all things sound podcast, and now you're able to listen to the perfect blend of music you'd expect from us 24/7. Jam bands and more, much more. New episodes of the podcast arrive at least 3 times a week, and now you can listen to your favorite artists and bands all the time in a perfect music stream. Just hit the play button and away you go. You'll be boogieing in no time. You can make requests, offer shoutouts, and even let us know when your birthday is, all from the SoundStream app. Get the app at thesoundstream.com or in the Apple or Google Play Store. The show starts now.
From the sun, I never thought I'd ever have to take my blood and run. Illusion is the truth, bird like a bullet from a gun. United we are stronger, cause together we are one. If I could take the pain away, built up from yesterday's mistakes, we wouldn't have to struggle just to find a better kind of way. We wouldn't have to prove, yeah, our right to choose. One nation being puppets through the puppet master's tomb. Open your eyes to see, come right this free. Complacent in the coming race, I'm balanced and adjusting while inadequately changing lanes. The system is abused, undocumented proof. Our sympathy ecstatic to the unrelenting truth. Open your eyes to see. Come right this breeze. Your mind is free. Above the haze beneath.
You've been listening to Empty Overflow from Mahaly's solo record debut, Breathe and Let Go. Everyone in the jam band scene has some idea of who Mahaly is. In case you don't, he is the frontman for Vermont's Twiddle. Twiddle have been around since 2004, and since that time, Mahaly has been the principal songwriter for the band. What you may not know is that Mahaly has also spent a lot of time gigging as a solo act, but has never released his own album. As you'll soon hear, it's a project he's been thinking about for quite some time, and it really came together over the last few years. His music, as you'd probably expect, is rooted in reggae sounds and vibes. To produce the album, he enlisted friend Eric Krasno and invited a few other friends to record as well. We caught up with Mahali fresh off his solo show at the Live From Out There virtual festival to talk about Breathe and Let Go, which he performed in its entirety, and much more. Our conversation started when I asked Mahali what inspired him to put out this solo record.
I've always done the solo act, kind of the looping thing, just about as long as I've been, as long as Twiddle. When the band started, I didn't really want to like do a day job, just didn't really suit me very well. So I played anywhere and everywhere. I mean, from restaurants to, you know, a lot of bars, a lot of ski bars, pretty much any place that would have me. I played snack shacks and country fairs and whatever. And yeah, so that's how I made my money. So I've always had this act, and I've always had these songs that aren't, I don't play with Twiddle.
Right.
And a lot of times the solo act was a nice, like testing ground for new songs before I brought them to the band. So I kind of used it like that for a lot of years. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I wanted to do it. I've been talking about it for like 7 years, pretty much. Like I would always say like, I'm going to do one. And I tried to record like live ones and they just weren't that great. And it was just a matter of time and focus and resources. You know, it's tough to do I really wanted to do it right. And, you know, without a proper budget and also the focus and time it takes to kind of do that, it wasn't the right time. And I felt like this was.
It's interesting that you mentioned that you are obviously the primary songwriter in Twiddle, and you take songs to the band after you work them up yourself. I'm curious about what the difference is in terms of songs that you keep for yourself, whether it's your solo gigs or this record, versus songs that you take to the rest of the guys. Like, how do you determine what you're going to take to the rest of the guys?
For the most part, most of my songs have gone to Twiddle. You know, there's a few that it was either I just didn't feel the vibe was there, or, you know, a lot of the songs on Breathe and Let Go aren't old. Those are songs I wrote in the time I was making the record. So like I was writing for the record. So right. I had that mentality there. So only I think maybe one song on the record is a really old song that I had written a long time ago. And you know, it was just a song I never thought would kind of suit Twiddle or just I don't know, it was a little, it's kind of super personal, I think, the song Hypocrite. Mm-hmm. And so I sort of put it on the shelf.
When you demoed these songs, were they just you and an acoustic, or did you put production into them? And I'm curious because I know Kraz is such a great producer, and I know he produced this record. I'm curious how much he brought to the table in terms of the sound of the record versus what you had already sort of conjured up in your head.
So pretty much everything started with just me on an acoustic guitar and the voice recorder on your phone, on my iPhone. And that's how I do it all right when it's done. So I would write the song, finish it, record it, and send it to Kraz. And Kraz would say, okay, awesome. This is great. I'm gonna work with it. And by the time I would get, because sometimes we did this over like 2 years almost, because both of us were so busy, we could really only find these little pockets of 3 days to get as much done as we could. Mm-hmm. So that spread out over 2 years. We were able to do half the record in Brooklyn, and then he moved to LA. So we did the other half in LA. And so it was a cool, slow process where like a song that we had started working on so long ago, maybe we came back to it and got a lot of life breathed into it. But to answer your question, Kraz would work up everything. And when I would get there, he'd say like, all right, man, what do you think of this? Push play on his computer, and he'd have so much of it done, so much of the instrumentation and basic drums, and the real feel of the vibe of the song would be finished.
Right.
And I don't think I ever said like, no, I'm not into that. I'm pretty sure every time I was like, that's awesome. And those are the feels and sounds that made it to the final record too. Yeah. So he had a huge hand in that.
And did you know who some of your guests would be when you wrote some of these songs, like Citizen Cope or Nako and Trevor Hall or G? Like, did you know that these were people that you wanted on the record?
Yeah, they were definitely all people I wanted on the record. And I even wrote some of these songs kind of like not in their vein, but like something I thought they would want to get down on. Like the Cope song, I was really trying to sort of conjure my inner Cope when I was writing that song and just hoping he would like it and say yes. I didn't really have a relationship with him before the record, whereas I knew everybody else that was on the record before this. Mm-hmm. So it was easy. I already had a song with Modest Yahoo.
Right.
Me and G-Love had really been talking, but G was really the last one that came on. He came on at the end and crushed it. So yeah, that was kind of how that worked. I'm really good friends with Nako and Trevor. So I had always really wanted to do a song with them. And I always kind of wanted it to be the three of us. So that was cool. They did their Flines. And that was the only song on the album not produced by Eric. I did that with Johnny Cosmic, who plays with Stick Figure, and he's an incredible producer. He's been working and mixing with so many bands the last few years. And I went to his studio in Oakland and banged that one out, and it came out so good. I mean, he's also like Eric, who just, you know, he was like, all right, go do your guitar. Okay, go do your vocals. And then, like, I had this incredible track handed to me, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I wish I had that. Yeah.
Well, the G Love song too. I would imagine that you must have thought about his style too, because Strongest of Our Kind could be a G Love song as much as it's a Mahaly song, right?
I think a lot of that had to do with Eric, and so that song, just like anything else, was all my other ones recorded on the notes section or whatever, and I sent it to both of them. Mm-hmm. I then saw G at a festival we were doing, and we were able to actually like listen to it and chat about it for a little bit, which I think gave him a better idea of where I was going with the lyrics and everything.
Right.
And then, like, I think 1 week later, we both flew to LA to meet up with Kraz. And by the time G got there, me and Kraz had already kind of cooked up that, like, the feel and the vibe. And then G came in doing the slide guitar,
yeah,
and the harmonica, which I think really made it sound like one of his tunes. But that was Eric. Eric knew the vibe and the, like, feel to give the tune, you know. Because
he's a genius. Like, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he really is.
Reggae has always been a strong influence on the music you make. On a bunch of tunes, you got closer to that sound on this record, whether it was because you were with your boys who do that sort of thing, like Matis or Nako or Trevor Hall or even Citizen Cope, I think. That's intentional, right? I mean, that is the kind of music that that you love. Is it?
It is.
Is it the political messaging that's associated with reggae, or just the sonic vibe? Or is it both?
It's the feel of the music. I've always loved it. It's a childhood thing for me, because I feel like, not like super young, but, you know, by like 10 or 11, just remember the first time hearing it and I loved it so much. And then I kind of discovered all the Bob Marley and one of my favorite guitar players, Ernest Ranglin, kind of started the whole reggae movement a little bit in the style of guitar. So it's a real passion of mine. At least I mean, I love to listen to it. I love to write to it. And the last two singles I put out were working with the reggae producers that I love the most. So those guys are so good at it, and they do it so authentically that, you know, I really wanted to move more in that direction to get the kind of sound I've been chasing. Twiddle, we do our own kind of thing with it, but it's more in the rock vein, you know.
The other thing about it, though, is the political messaging. And so there are songs on this record like Fading State and Empty Overflow, which are so politically charged that they could probably only be done in this kind of a melody, in this kind of a genre, right?
Yeah, I mean, I, oh yeah. I think there's always been a little against the system angst that comes with reggae, you know, and certainly the vibe of standing up for yourself.
Right.
And I love that. Touring with the band Soja, Jacob Hemphill, their one of their lyricists and
the singer.
Singer.
Yeah.
Guitar player. He writes amazing lyrics, and we were on tour with a lot of some of that stuff was definitely inspired from one watching them and him create their next album sort of as we were on the road, but also hearing their shows every night, you know. For sure.
Enemies is an interesting song. I'm curious about if it's a shout out to the haters or who you're talking to in that song, because
It's about definitely about the haters. That's where that song came about. So that song was completely co-written by me and Eric, lyrics too, which is nothing I've done before. But it was really fun. You know, I think the kind of vibe I was bumming on, probably something I read online, someone being a jerk, right? And I think he was like, well, we like stopped what we were working on. He was like, well, let's write about it, man. Let's like write a song real quick. And of course we went, let's do it reggae. That was what we said. And it happened quick, real smooth, real easily. We just bounced ideas off each other and chords and stuff. And it came about. And then we both, I think, like looked at each other and we're like, yo, we've got to get Modest on this. He's going to crush this. And we called him and he was down. It was great. I mean, I really enjoyed that process. And I think that's why the song sounds a little different, like especially lyrically and stuff, because it was a bit of both of us, you know, giving to that. So. But it was really fun working with Eric and kind of getting to create from nothing like that. He also has a way, he changed a lot of my songs too, added chord progressions and took lyrics that were here and put them there. I mean, he really put it together.
Right. It's interesting that both you and Matas are on that record, because I would imagine between the two of you, you have quite the collection of haters for various reasons.
Yes, we do. We do. For sure. I think that's probably why. And we talk about that a lot when we get together. For sure. You know, it's pretty brutal out there. But at the same time, you know, it is what it is. It kind of comes with the new age. I mean, I'm starting to understand that, and it's starting to sting a little less, you know.
Yeah.
But we recorded that song in Kraz's, like, in this little room in Greenpoint, Brooklyn. I did the vocals in the closet.
Wow.
Of the bedroom.
You've had a chance to play this album a little bit because it's been out for a bit, but you played the album in its entirety for the Live From Out There festival. How weird is it to play these songs without an audience anticipating that there probably is one watching you? Is that weird? Do you think about it?
Yeah, I did like the storyteller's vibe thing with that, and I didn't have a band either, so it's really stripped down. I didn't use my looper or anything like that, and it's I'm having, like, it is weird. It's weird to do something like that where you're speaking and you're telling stories, but nobody's actually, you know, you're not seeing anybody listening, right? Even though they are listening, yeah. You know, and it's gonna take a little bit to get used to that for sure. I think part of the reason why when you go to a live show, sometimes you see the performer and you're like, man, you know, you catch some energy from the crowd and you play like you would never play before. You know what I mean? Right. Like you get this, like you get the magic juice, whatever. And all of a sudden your hands are moving better and you're singing better and all that. And that's really hard to tap into doing it like that.
Right.
You know, it's a little easier when I have the band guys, when Twiddle does it, because we're feeding off each other,
right?
And we love playing with each other. So that's good enough. And that really pumps us all up anyway. So by myself is just, it's going to take a little time to get used to, I think.
So this is probably going to be the state of affairs for a while. You're not going to be able to tour for a bit, even though you're putting out a lot of live music. I mean, you're putting out shows, you're secretly playing in cinemas and stuff with the band and doing sort of the punk rock thing, playing where you can with some cameras. Is it a downer for you? I mean, that you can't be out on the road. I mean, you've built a career. You've built your life being out on the road. It must be tough to stay at home.
Yeah. It's different. I've been kind of really enjoying it. It's a chance to get to spend with my girls. I've got two daughters, one that's 4 and one that's a year old, and I love it. I mean, I'm busier home with them than I am on the road,
right.
And it's a nice change of pace. So far it's been okay. I really, really like being home with them. It's a treat, and I count it as a blessing because I would have never been here experiencing all this amazing stuff, you know?
Right. Before I let you go, I have to ask you about one of your bandmates in Twiddle, because I follow him on Instagram. What's the deal with Ryan and his ducks?
Ryan has always loved ducks. Said so when I met him in college, we met in orientation. Then, you know, we found each other again first day of school. And he was like, yo, man, come check out my car. He brings me to his car. He had like an old rusty Dodge Raider or something like that. And he opened up the back of it, and there was this big fucking duck in a cage. Ugly duck with the, you know, a Muscovy. They have that like red gobble on the top, yeah. You know? And the thing's like hissing at me and biting the cage. I'm like, oh, dude, what the? He's like, this is my duck Gatsby, which is actually now, we wrote a song about Gatsby back then. Became one of the first Twiddle songs and is one of our most, you know, beloved early tunes.
Yeah.
And Gatsby kind of became a legend. And he spent the first semester with us there and had a tragic end when we had to board him for the winter. and since then, Ryan has acquired and raised many ducks, all with funny names, and they all follow him around, and he kisses them all and takes baths with them. He loves those ducks.
It's amazing. I have a personal connection to ducks in Vermont. So I'm Canadian, but I have a lot of family in Montreal. So we used to always go across, you know, to Plattsburgh or wherever. But we went one time. I remember we took a family trip to Shelburne. We went to the Shelburne Museum. And in the Shelburne Museum, there is a room of just duck decoys.
Yeah.
And I was hysterical. Like, I couldn't believe it. So whenever I think of ducks in Vermont, that's what comes to mind. And so when I saw Ryan with all these ducks, that story came. I must have been like 8 or 9, and I thought it was the funniest thing ever that there was an entire room of just duck decoys. But that's how it goes in Vermont, I guess.
Indeed, yeah. Shelburne Museum's still there.
Wow.
I don't know if the duck decoy room is. It probably is.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful concert venue, actually.
Oh, is it?
They do it right out on the field. It's gorgeous. One of my favorite places to go see shows. It's really cool. Awesome.
Well, the last time I saw you was in Canandaigua, and that, for me, is still, I mean, it's been built up over the last 20 years or so, but that, to me, is still one of those great small amphitheater-type venues, even though
it was so awesome.
It's such a great place. Hey, man, thanks for taking the time. It's been so long since we last chatted, and love the new record, and
thank you,
and keep it up, and hopefully in the not too distant future we'll see you again on the road. All right, man.
Yeah, brother, thank you for having me.
Hope you enjoyed that very laid back yet informative conversation with Mahaly. He's always been available when we needed him to talk about Twiddle, and we're thrilled that he was able to put out this solo record since it's something he's really wanted to do. For more on Mahaly's solo project, visit mahalymusic.com. Before we leave you, have a listen to another cut off of Breathe and Let Go. Here is Strongest of Our Kind with G Love.
I gotta dig real deep, cause my life has got me feeling like I just can't keep all the negative illusions from preventing sleep. I just gotta say bye to the lies and let the truth set me free. Quick smile can illuminate the journey, roll it fast in style. Gotta keep the fire burning till you find your peace. I just gotta survive the ride and let my love light burn free. What a thrill to watch them shine, overcoming the hell of life. Straighten out a crooked line, trying to make sense of their time. Always living with the pain that their hearts weren't made to take. It's the strength none of us find. Yeah, the strongest of our kind. The time moves on, and the
time in my mind. There's still time, reel up, come rewind. Changing time, these politicians, they lie to ruin lives. Spoiled dreams, strong young minds. The system fucked up and the world is strange. The prisons got stacked, but the devils got paid. They push a mess for kids like lemonades. But life is just a game, the rules always they change. Addiction might get you, but it ain't your fault. Big pharma pushing drugs like a dealer at the mall. Fentanyl, alcohol, nicotine, coke and meth. It makes you wanna scream out it, love you to death. They're pushing pills in us all, so don't judge the downfall. Help your brother stand tall, it's the wake up call. It's the wake up call, it's the wake up call.
What a thrill to watch them shine, overcoming the hell of life. Straighten out a crooked line, trying to make sense of their time. Always living with the pain that their hearts weren't made to take. It's the strength none of us find.
You've been listening to The Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. For more, visit thesoundpodcast.com.